Welcome to the Dementia Caregiver Talk Show, a podcast to help you navigate the senior care maze. Learn and laugh with us as we discuss creative solutions and ideas to common and uncommon dementia care challenges and how to make sense of the senior care industry and options, even if you're not a professional. Hello and welcome to the Dementia Care Partner Talk Show. My name is Valerie and I'm here with Joanne and Tifa. How are you ladies doing?
Great.
Pretty good.
It's a frosty morning here in beautiful Florida. I think we have 52 degrees. But
well, it's a foggy, covered up morning over here in Seattle. So what can I tell you?
So today we have a interesting topic and we thought we should address this because some of our listeners might have noticed a little additional change. So in our last episode, we talked about some of the changes that are going on with our podcast overall, but some of you might have noticed that our name changed a little bit. And It used to be the Dementia Caregiver Talk Show, and now we're hosting the Dementia Care Partner Talk Show, and there's a reason for it. And I think the best person to sort of explain why that matters is Tifa.
Ah, well, thanks, Val. And it's great to be here with you and Joanne both. So why care partner versus caregiver? Well, the way we look at things is a caregiver has to have somebody who's willing to take the give. In other words, if I'm a giver, then there has to be a receiver. And when it comes to dementia, if we start weighing who's giving and who's receiving, sometimes the person who's going to receive care isn't real thrilled about it. And if we just keep trying to offer them what they don't want, we end up in a real negative relationship. And because this is frequently a long-term relationship, but it's a different relationship than it used to be, and it's not about taking care of a kid, it's about taking care of a mature, possibly older person, maybe a person that's my age, maybe a person that's somebody who used to care for me. This role shift of we used to be somewhat equal or we used to be different than we are now, but we've never been what we are here, puts us in a situation where if I'm not careful, I could think that I have responsibilities and rights as a caregiver that a person living with dementia doesn't necessarily feel like I should. And we get into an unequal place, a place where I keep telling Valerie, but Valerie, this is important. You have to let me do this. And Valerie is like, no, I don't. And it opens up more possibilities of arguments and disagreements and resistance and refusal. And so the idea of learning to be with a partner is a little bit different because when you have a partnership, each person is coming into the relationship with something. Whatever it is, it's something. And we have to agree to be partners in this. And we have to agree we're going to figure out how to make this work in this situation. It's different and it isn't how it used to be. So I like the word partner because it means it's a negotiation. So either Val or Joanne, when you think about negotiating something versus just giving somebody something, is there a difference?
Well, I think so for sure. And I love the word partner because it tells me that with the skills that we use, you're working with one another together. And so you're sharing that experience. You're not doing something to somebody, but you're actually, you know, the two of you are working together at something. So that's what I think you're sort of negotiating together.
Yeah, and to me, partnering sort of says that each side is contributing, you know, so it's not like Joanne said, one side doing something to the other, but you know what, each side can give something as in a partnership.
Yeah, so like if we imagine one example that I sometimes use is dancing versus fighting.
Yeah.
Okay, so in one, you know, that fighting idea, I mean, those are not partners, they're opponents. And, you know, you go into the ring and it's like, we're going to do 10 rounds and whoever comes out ahead, you know, it's like, well, that's not what I want. I have no interest in, you know, trying to fight with somebody. And yet when dementia is part of the situation, it gets easy sometimes for me to see things totally opposite the way you see them. So I see you're being unsafe and you see I'm being demanding and I'm too concerned about something that doesn't, it's not a problem. And so because we're on opposite sides when it comes to awareness of risk or awareness of need or that something that you like is not something that's good for you, that awareness puts us in the ring right away because you're seeing something very different than I'm seeing. And it's real easy then to think, well, I know what she needs because I'm the one with a fully functional brain. And it's like, yeah, but you're not in her body, nor did you necessarily get permission to be that person that gives her advice. And so you end up creating this fight versus learning to dance with a partner in a ballroom. We come into it knowing, well, we want to get something done. And what we want to get done is really complicated. How do you get somebody to put a shirt on? Oh, wait, first you have to get the nightgown off. Okay, well, that means they have to get naked. Well, but how do they do that? Do they grasp the bottom or how does somebody actually take their own clothing off in order to put clothing on? Do they go into a bathroom? Do they do it in the bedroom? Do they have to get their clothing out first? So the reality is, you know what, as intimate as we've been as maybe husband and wife or as mother and daughter or, you know, daughter and father, I don't know exactly what your body and brain do to get dressed or undressed. I mean, I know how I get undressed and dressed, but I'm not exactly sure what you do. And so to assume that I should be able to figure you out and do that for you without engaging you in the activity really does set me up in a ring. And we're going to be punching at each other if we're not careful because you have your way of doing it and I have my way and I think my way is the best way, but it's not your way.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like you said, it's like when you care partner, it's sort of, you make, you know, taking someone's, shall we say, like habits into consideration. Mm-hmm. I think that just makes it that much more likely. It, you know, it's also does the person prefer to, like, you know, shower in the mornings or in the evenings, or do they prefer a bath? And if care partnering seems a lot more.
I'm more interested in you than just getting something done. And it's by getting interested in you, we will get something done. I have to figure out, okay, do you want a foxtrot today or are you more interested in waltzing? You know, trying to figure out where you're coming from when the thing you are living with is taking away your language skills, your reasoning skills, your movement skills sometimes, and then other times not. And so trying to balance all this stuff. And then we have, how many hours has it been since? How long has it gone since? And realizing for many people with dementia, they don't know how long it's been since. So for them, they don't think they're hungry because they just ate, but they didn't just eat. I mean, it's been hours since they didn't just take a shower. And if we just go into it, well, you're wrong, I'm right, you did, you didn't, you whatevered, whatever the reality is, that's my side of the story. If I don't listen to their side of the story, then I'm setting us up to have a fight. And my sense is I'm caregiving, and it's like their sense is I'm arguing with them. So with this whole idea of how we come into a relationship and how we back up when the person is pushing forward and how we figure out, okay, what's the new dance step? That's the thing that I think when we're first starting off in this care world of dementia, it's really hard to give up old habits of mother knows best or the doctor knows best or the nurse knows best or the social worker. Somebody must know best. And it's like, well, how about the person who was living the way they were living until this condition changed things? And we have to start somewhere. And so maybe it's look at our partner and figure out who are they and who am I and how's this going to work for us?
The other thing I wanted to mention, Tiba, also is when you're in a facility or a campus where you have CNAs perhaps working with you, one of the most important things is to look at their history and know what their preferences are. Because if you just assume you're going to grab them up that morning and give them a bath because it's on your schedule, that is definitely not going to work.
Yeah. And one of our biggest mistakes in healthcare is assigning people tasks rather than making sure they know who the person is they're caring for.
Yes.
So we set people up to fail rather than encouraging them to succeed by getting curious about the person and sort of saying, okay, so Joanne, this morning you have Valerie that you're working with. Tell me a little bit about what you know about her background and bathing so that when you walk in there, you'll know who that person is. But no, we say, okay, Joanne, go give Valerie her shower or bath, whichever one, but just get her down to breakfast.
Yeah, and just get her done.
Yeah, get her done. And we do this without, and it's not intentional and it's not mean. It's just, there's a lot to be done and I have multiple people I'm thinking about. But if I start being focused on a task, then I create caregivers, not care partners. And it actually results in greater numbers of refusals, resistance, incidents. And then we have to deal with that. So it's not just family members, it's staff as well, thinking about themselves as partners in this and working with families.
Right. And routine really matters, because if that's something I've always done all my life is have a shower in the morning, please don't come and get me at 8 o'clock at night.
Right. It's like, what are we doing? Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Tiba. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say is, and I think sometimes it's important for us when we are care partners to realize I need to dance with somebody else every now and then. And what I mean is sometimes I need to realize I need somebody to partner with me because I may run out of juice. I don't know what dance to do. I am just stuck. And then quit trying to dance with somebody if you're stuck. If you don't know the dance, maybe step back and say, does anybody know this dance? Because I'm not familiar with it. Maybe if you showed me that dance with me, then I could help my person better. And that particularly, Joanne, what triggered that thought for me is when people go into community, if there's something that has been challenging for us, let somebody know ahead of time so that they don't make the same mistakes. If there's some way you found that works well, tell them what the dance is before they get there. Don't keep secrets and don't wait, but also be thoughtful about, look, a new partnership. How's that individual going to deal with this if it was just us before?
Right. That makes a big, big difference.
Thank you so much, Tifa. I really like the term care partner because it says to me relationships first.
Yeah, and we're all into partnering. So hopefully this name change isn't too startling and actually makes sense to people as we're moving forward, because we're going to be doing a lot of work on how do you support and how do you help, and that means learning how to partner.
Thank you so much, ladies. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, and we hope to welcome everybody back. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.